You're tuned in to the BBC. This is Quarantine Watch. My name is Fittleback Nigelbaum. And I'm here with my partner, Tabitha Cassandra Balathi III.
No person in the US is named Nigel. That's not a name we've ever used.
We live in Silver Lake. I'm sure there's no 10,000 one's named Nigels. Nigel. And Elliot and Jebediahs.
We have Elliots. I'm sure there's Jebediahs. No Nigels. Because Nigel's like Mike in the UK.
Wait, you were doing a really cool like working class accent. How'd
Thank
that one go?
You. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, then. Well, so I'd love to talk to you about all the fights we've gotten into this week.
But wait, I'm going to try to do BBC English. You do the streets.
Received pronunciation, RP.
Okay, it goes something like this.
I don't think you're very good at
You don't think? Well, let me give it a shot.
Okay.
Well, before you start roasting, you can't bite into the roast before it's
okay,
done.
Okay, go ahead, honey.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to eat raw meat. Okay, here we go. Water. Hello, you're tuned into the BBC. My name is Nigel. Excuse me? Why are you laughing? Is that bad? You're tuned into the BBC. My name is Nigel Fendelbaum. I am a Jew of the UK. No?
It doesn't sound very British, honey.
What does it sound like?
I don't know, like someone who maybe went to like one acting class.
Is it just me? Or are you losing your fucking mind? I've been doing like, I got a text message from a friend today. He's in his underwear doing the Running Man while his wife is like screaming, go. Yeah, he's white. I mean, it's like we're all kind of losing our shit a little bit. I haven't showered in 9 days. You smell, I can tell you that, right?
I'm wearing a bow tie just until... You told me it's been 52 hours.
Natasha's been looking like a Chippendale for the last 58 hours. She hasn't taken this fucking bow tie, children's bow tie. You look cute, though. What can I say? It's the Endless Honeymoon Podcast. This is the longest and most scattered intro we've ever
well,
done.
Well, I want to call our guest because he's
Let's
in New
right
York.
Into it.
It's midnight there.
Right.
He's a good friend. Let's call and check up on him while he still has his juices flowing.
From The Wrestler. From the crowd work special on Netflix.
He's a huge comedian.
Yeah,
he's one of the best.
One of our friends.
He's
Todd Berry.
He's a great friend. Let's call Todd Berry.
Let's call Todd to the bees. Hello, let's call Todd Berry.
Let's call Todd.
Hello.
Todd Berry.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Moshe, Natasha.
How are you?
I'm all right. I don't know how this works, but I guess it's pretty self-explanatory, right?
Yeah, you just talk to us. I mean,
yeah, and if you say something you hate, we'll take it out.
Oh, okay.
Wait, but I have a question. So what would you usually be doing tonight, Saturday night?
I can think of a joke answer, but I...
Well, you're like the kind of guy who has like 3 shows a night, right?
Or I would be on the road.
Oh, right.
Hey, Todd, what was the joke answer?
Like out on the dance floor or something like that.
You think you'd be cutting a rug right now, Todd?
I'd be cutting a rug. It's Saturday night, man.
How are you doing? Because you're kind of a creature of the night. You're definitely a creature of New York City. You like to stay out. I see you in the streets every time I go to New York.
Every time I try to hang out with Todd, he's got like 5 different things he's doing on a night. So
are you going crazy?
I am going crazy, but I feel like everyone's going crazy, right?
Yeah, I saw sustained 7-minute footage of New Yorkers cheering because it was raining today. Amy Schumer posted it. Yeah. It's like, I guess, small pleasures, I guess.
Yeah, I've been just, it's just weird. I was thinking, it's like, I have nothing to look forward to, really.
Well, what about this call?
I mean, besides the call, which came way later than it's supposed to, it's like you can't even say, oh, I got these shows coming up because I don't know if I have shows coming up.
Well, I'll tell you what's funny is when we try to get people to do the podcast and they say, can't that night? We're like, bitch, yeah, you can. There's nothing going on.
I got meetings Saturday during the quarantine.
Oh, I'm slammed. I'm on the dance floor at that time.
I mean, at the very least, you know, I know we're comedians and our schedules are like, we don't know what's happening, but at least we don't have Zoom meetings all day.
That is true.
Because that would freaking suck.
My friend Nato Green is the union head for one of the health unions in the Bay Area. And he said he's working 14-hour days.
On Zoom?
On Zoom.
In his house with kids screaming?
Yeah, well, imagine being a union organizer for a health union right now. It's it's busy times.
Oh, my God.
How do you use Zoom? I tried to use it real. I mean, I didn't try hard, but I.
You just have to download the app. It's pretty easy. If I can figure it out, it's easy.
I heard people are hacking into it, though.
Yeah, actually, Kate Willett, you know that comedian Kate Willett?
Yeah.
She had one of these, what I can only imagine is painstaking online comedy shows. You know, everybody's trying to get you to do their online comedy show now. And I've passed on every one because it's like, it just sounds like.
I must be in a good zone because no one's asking me.
Oh, have you done one, Todd?
They're asking Moshe.
Has anyone asked you, Todd?
I agreed to do one. I think I'm doing it, the 30th, where they said you could do a set, you could just talk to the host. I was like, and I know the guys. So I was like, I'll talk to the host.
I would tune into that.
Well, anyway.
I'm not doing a fucking set in my.
Yeah, you can bomb digitally now. They bring the bomb into your own apartment. But Kate Willett did a show today, and they had a heckler, apparently.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how you even managed to be a heckler on Zoom. But he was, like, screaming horrible shit, and they had to shut the whole show down.
See, I'd be afraid to do like a therapy appointment if I ever. I mean, I've never been to therapy in my life. But
no,
if,
you
if
don't
I,
need it.
Oh, because you're saying that they're hacking into Zoom and seeing your private stuff.
Racist, racist and
just racist.
Racist people. I just, I'm talking about my problems. I don't need a white supremacist interrupting.
You're talking about your problems with various races. You don't need them knowing that you agree with them, right?
If I was like, Doc, I think I'm a racist. This guy's like, yeah.
Like, wait a minute, Doc, that doesn't sound like what you're supposed to say.
Wait, so Todd, we both share a birthday. We had a birthday 2 days ago, March 26th.
Happy birthday.
You had a party you didn't invite me to.
No, that was actually the day before, and it was for like 5 different people who all have birthdays, but I should have invited you on that.
Ouch.
It's weird. Todd. Yeah, I feel like I fit into that category.
You mean since you have the same exact birthday? Is that what you mean?
I can't believe you found 4 other people who have the same birthday that were ahead of me.
No, it was like all birthdays that week.
Wait, his is the same as yours.
I know, but it was like, it wasn't my idea. And I don't know how close he is with like Kate Micucci.
And it was Kate Micucci and 4 white supremacists, Todd. You wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah, wait. Kate Micucci, she's mean. She probably wouldn't have gone with me.
I'm sorry, Todd. Well, let's do another one next week. What did you do on your birthday?
I walked around during the day, and then I bought myself a cupcake.
Aww.
I know. And then I just ordered Chinese.
It's simultaneously so sweet and sad and also dangerous. I like the fact that you kind of took your life in your own hands to order it.
I mean, I kept my eye on the person who served it, and she, that's another thing that's really, I think people are going to go crazy with the, because I was already like an obsessive hand washer before this.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And now it's off the rails, and it's just this shit where you like have to wipe down your groceries and like, and the 20 seconds of hand washing, which
it's not sustainable. Moshe made me wash my hands the other day, and I was like, I already did it. And he's like, no, it's 20 seconds with the water.
She thought it was 20 seconds, including scrubbing the soap.
You know, like including drying off. And,
well, I just thought it was like beforehand. The soap was 20 seconds. I didn't know it was the soap underwater.
Well, that's what's so crazy about it is that you have to watch one of these fucking YouTube videos to figure out how you've been scrubbing soap on your hands wrong, which already takes 20 seconds to put on. Then you turn the water on and it's 20 seconds under the water. I read an article recently that said they've had a hard time convincing anyone, including doctors, to wash their hands for 20 seconds.
I've had doctors who wash their hands like they come from the one patient and they come into the examining room and they do like maybe a 4-second one. I'm like, I don't know.
You know you know what I don't like? I don't like a dermatologist that shakes your hand when he walks in the room. I don't need a handshake from a dermatologist.
Wait, yeah. Todd, I have a question though, because you live in New York and
yes.
I just feel, I'm like thinking about this whole thing like in a very depressing way, because I already feel like we're on the way towards like Amazon only, you know, mainstream, whatever is the biggest chain. I just feel like all these small businesses, all these small restaurants, all these places we love,
all these
like,
cupcake bakeries,
they're not going to be able to sustain them. Like, they're not going to be able to make it. And I don't know. Do you feel that vibe? Do you feel it when you walk around New York? Like, all these places are going to be closed? Or am I like totally in?
Well, I feel like before this happened, restaurants were closing left and right.
Yeah.
And other businesses like bookstores and things like that. And now, I mean, I can't imagine how you can get, especially if there's, you're going to pay your employees something, which I don't know if they can all afford to do that. But I think a lot of people are going to not be able to reopen, I'm guessing.
But won't they come back? Won't other things come back? I mean, how do businesses that don't exist open in the first place? They have to start somewhere, right?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, a business, a new restaurant wasn't a restaurant before it opened. So what, after this, there'll be
all these people will have like all this, like, they're like, yeah, I was able to save $50,000 during the COVID, months to open a restaurant.
I don't know. I mean, I also don't know what I'm talking about, which is worth noting.
Well, that hasn't stopped most stand-up comedians online. I don't know if you've been checking.
From yammering about this.
Wait, so Todd, are you right? All right, we're going to call someone who needs advice soon. But I just want to know, like, what's getting you through it? Are you writing? Because like I have a kid, working with the kid.
I feel like I think a lot of people are doing the thing where they're like, oh, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to write a schedule out, and I'm not working on shit that I need to work. Here's something funny I did. I built my cat an exercise wheel. Not from scratch, but there's
this is like one of those. Remember that movie New York Stories or New York Tales?
Yeah.
I feel like you're one of the one acts in that. It's like it's your birthday. You walk to get a cupcake. You come home. You build your cat a cat wheel.
How did it feel after you built it? Like, did you get any account? Like, because when I cook for my kid, I'm happy.
I watched the video of the guy. There's a video where the guy shows how to assemble it. I didn't like build it from scratch. Like it's a kit, you know, it's unassembled and it's huge. It's like probably 4 feet tall. So this, then the video goes like, it takes 15 minutes pretty much to build this thing. And you know, the guy's like huffing and puffing when he's building it and straining. I think this is the guy who invented it. And then I was like, it took me hours. Some parts broke off. So I actually called them and they answered. Aww. And they sent me new parts. So then I spent another half hour, 45 minutes trying. It's just something that's, but I got it together and there's like this one last step that I didn't do yet, but wait. I haven't even tried to get her to use it, which I think is, that's going to be the big payoff is, she's not going to use it. But
no, Todd, what you should do is you should order 7 of them and build, using all the parts, a gigantic wheel for yourself so that you can run next to your cat.
Oh, man. I'm small enough probably, right?
you could hang one of those cupcakes in front of you to motivate you to run towards it.
Just dangling it. That's my carrot.
Yeah, your cat has a little bag of catnip and you've got a little cupcake.
You know
what? I'm also worried about what?
No, go ahead.
I'm also worried about getting fat.
We all are.
I know. Motion and I have been doing like YouTube exercise videos.
That's super helpful, Todd, actually. Any kind of exercise you're interested in.
Like we wanted an ab workout and we just looked it up and there was a very serious one for 20 minutes that wasn't that annoying and it hurt and we did it and I was sore the next day.
Yep. We've been doing long walks and YouTube videos when we can.
What's it like?
I was on a roll taking Pilates classes, and I was like, oh, man, I'm actually exercising.
That's
I'm
actually one thing you can't do online.
Oh, is Pilates all equipment?
Pilates is all about weights and equipment and, like, exact weights.
Well, look up, you know, I'm sure if you look up Pilates workout, there's a non-equipment Pilates workout on YouTube. I almost guarantee it.
I just want any workout where I can say, all right, I can check that off the list. I exercised today.
Yeah, totally. It makes you feel so much better.
And what's going on in the streets of New York? Like, do you feel like you can just like go out there and take a walk for an hour?
I mean, I've been trying to take a walk because I just can't. I mean, that's good exercise, I think. And I try to walk fast and dodge as many people. But it's still like, even like you get on the wrong street and suddenly you're like, I feel like, oh, someone got within 4 feet of me. I'm going to die now. And it, It's probably not true.
That's definitely how it is when I walk the Silver Lake Reservoir. It's like busy.
I'm telling you, my experience is the older they are, the more brazenly they walk towards your personal space. It's like the more likely they are to die, the more they're kind of running for you. Like what? This old man, I was on a, Todd, I went on a recumbent bike ride with my mom yesterday. And this fucking like 85-year-old like Vietnam vet was like walking towards us inches from us. And I want to be like, get the fuck out of the road. But then I don't want to tell some old guy to move.
Boomers aren't scared.
They're not scared.
The up till like maybe a week ago or even sooner, more recently, I saw like barber shops open.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Like, I mean, no one needs a haircut more than I do, but still.
Are you going to give yourself a haircut?
I was thinking of doing it, but I just know that I'm not good with like,
me neither.
It takes a certain skill, but I'm not like great with precision things, which is why it took me 3 hours to build a.
I think I might try to give myself a haircut.
I think you should let me help you.
I don't think you, I don't trust
you. Have someone, yeah, let Natasha help you otherwise.
I mean, I'm not good at that kind of stuff. I don't really have like what the hand-eye coordination that's required, but yeah, maybe
you got the love that is necessary. Todd, so are you?
Wait, can I just say one more thing? Oh, I really hate about this time right now. I feel like maybe Todd, you feel like this too. I feel like there's like pressure to go live and like discuss how you're feeling, and I'm feeling very private.
But isn't that what we're doing literally right now?
That's true.
No, this is pretty lighthearted. I mean, there's a little vulnerability, but there's not like.
Yeah.
We're still being hilarious.
Yeah, that,
but I do feel
I'm still
like,
thinking about that dance floor line.
As a comedian, I just feel like I just want to like be left alone.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's then I feel like, oh, then I need to make money and I need to like talk to people and I need to post pictures and go live and talk to my fans.
Todd,
I've got to do an Imagine parody before anyone else does.
No, it's a parody of an Imagine parody. It's the furthest iteration away for like we can now parody the parodies.
You know what happened is Gal Gadot, like that was the first thing that happened. Like that was like it was like too soon. It was like literally too soon.
I don't even know who she is. Who is she?
She's Wonder Woman. And my
She's
an Israeli superstar and she's all hot. And you know, she called all her friends and was like, come on, it's gonna be great.
If someone would have called for me from her, even though I don't know her, I probably would have done it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone posted something pretty funny, I forgot who it was, where they said you could tell by looking at it who sent someone a text going, do we really have to do this?
There's a lot of great moments in it where you can see little choices people made. Like, yeah, I don't want to get...
Most people seem visibly bummed out by doing it.
It's a funny thing to do something you know, like, when this hits, it's definitely not going to be well received, but I've gone too far to turn back now.
Did you see that David Geffen picture?
Oh, that was amazing. Have you seen
of his yacht?
Yeah, he's like, I'm in the Maldives right now.
He
I hope everybody's good.
Good.
In like a $60 million yacht.
Oh, no, it's like $590 million
Jesus
yacht.
Christ.
Wait, really? You guys know how much yachts are?
Well, yeah, Todd and I have gone yacht shopping last time I was in New York.
I just happened to read that.
One of the best times in my life was in Thailand on this like teak wood yacht that like we were like piggybacking on some other rich person's experience. And they took us on their family yacht. And it was literally one of the best days of my life.
No, it's
so
awesome.
Being on a yacht is probably...
being unbelievably wealthy is awesome. Everybody agrees. But these fucking rich people.
He's in the Grenadines.
What even are the Grenadines? I've never even heard of an island chain called the Grenadines.
I had to look up the Grenadines too.
Where are they, Todd?
They're in, where are they near? Grenada, maybe?
Ugh. Imagine being so rich you think everybody knows where the Grenadines are.
And also like, hey, I was worried about David Geffen. I went, oh, he's okay.
These fucking rich people, like, why don't they get that, like, the economy is cracking in half and there are going to be working class people boarding their yacht any day. They're going to be...
No, people are scared. Like, these people have security.
No, I'm telling you, if these fucking rich people don't change soon, there's going to be, like... guillotines in the streets. They really have to get their shit
together.
That's
the thing that I don't think anyone's taking into consideration. Like, 2 months without work, like I'm running out of money in 4 months.
Right.
And I have money. Or 5 months. Like most people are running out of money
in
now.
2 weeks. In,
yeah. So I just, this doesn't seem like a sustainable, even if you're a white collar worker, even if you make $100,000 a year, like you're still running out of money in 2 weeks.
I know.
It's like, it doesn't make sense. And I think that what you're saying, Moshe, the rioting.
I'm telling you, it hasn't even gotten bad yet. People aren't getting evicted. People aren't actually feeling the pinch. But I think it's going to get worse, way worse before it gets better. But who knows? You know what? Maybe everything will be okay.
Todd, can we call someone in New York and you want to stay on the phone with us to see how they're doing?
Yeah. It's a, are you, what is, what kind of call? Is this a relationship call?
It's a relationship call. It's very similar.
It's a single
person. Todd has done our live show with us a number of times where we just make fun of people. And so this is kind of just that, but a little bit, tiny bit more sincere.
Only because there's COVID.
No, the podcast generally is slightly more sincere.
We don't want to roast.
No, we roast him. Let's roast.
I'll be gentler.
All right, hold on. Here we go. Todd, we're going to put you on hold for 1 second while we connect the call.
All right.
Okay, folks, we are about to begin what is known in the industry as the world-famous Endless Honeymoon Podcast ad read section. Do you know that we're known in the business for having some of the greatest and funniest ad reads out there?
Yes, I do. I've heard that.
You're familiar. We, in fact, were recently named on a Variety's top 10 ad readers on podcasts to watch. But not only are our ad reads unbelievably entertaining and the products that we are reading for unbelievably high quality, they're also the reason that this podcast exists. They allow us to stay in business and they're our sole source of income in these trying times. So we want to say thank you to our sponsors for helping this podcast live.
And if you need a bra, or if you need some yoga pants,
or if you need a boner pill,
some vitamins,
absolutely
support these businesses.
Absolutely. They support us. You love this podcast. So if these brands pique your interest, definitely support our sponsors because they're supporting us. Hey, Tosh.
Hey, Mosh.
It's trying times. Nobody's getting dressed in the morning, but I've noticed that you've been getting up and putting a bra on every day and your titties look perky. What's happening?
Well, I'm using Third Love.
Third Love? What's up with Third Love?
Third Love does bras differently. They believe that every woman deserves to feel comfortable and confident every day with the right kind of support. They help you do this.
Is that right?
You can take their Fit Finder quiz, answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 15 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's fun. It takes less than a minute to complete. And did you know that your breast shape matters when finding a good fit? I was actually a half size.
I knew that, but I wonder if all of our listeners know that. It matters. Take this test. Get yourself a Third Love bra. I'm looking at my wife right now. I'm looking at her chest, not her eyes. And it is looking good. You're wearing one right now, aren't you?
I am.
You like it?
Yeah, it's very comfortable.
Well, there you go. Right now, our listeners can get 15% off their perfect bra at thirdlove.com/honeymoon. Go to thirdlove.com/honeymoon to get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/honeymoon for 15% off today.
Hey, Tosh. I have a question for you. What are the best pants to wear during the COVID pandemic?
Well, my pandemic go-to, as you know, is a cashmere sweater.
And what on the bottom? For me, it's absolutely nothing. What about you?
You have been walking around naked. I am wearing Beta Brand black yoga pants.
Right. And you told
me black cashmere sweater, white child's bow tie around my neck.
That's right. And you told me that those yoga pants are so comfortable, it feels like you're naked. If you're out of clean loungewear, you can mix things up by changing into your Beta Brand dress pant yoga pants. They're as comfortable as pajamas, but their professional style will make you feel like you actually got dressed for your day. This is so important to convince yourself to get dressed in the morning. It's psychologically helpful, and with pants like Beta Brands that feel like pajamas, you can have the best of both worlds, the comfort of lounging around with the formality of looking like you're at work.
And try to shower by 4.
Absolutely. Right now, our listeners can get... By 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's an attainable goal. Get your Beta Brand pants Shower by Four. And actually, you can get those pants for 25% off. Right now, our listeners can get 25% off their first order when you go to betabrand.com/honeymoon.
That's 25% off your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/honeymoon.
Find out why women are buying 5 different pairs of these pants. Just go to betabrand.com/honeymoon for 25% off. We're going to call Emmett in New York City.
Hello?
Emmett. Is this Emmett?
Yeah, this is Emmett.
Hi, Emmett. It's Moshe Kasher, Natasha Leggero, and a special bonus treat, Todd Barry is with us as well.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm a lucky guy. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Emmett.
How's it going?
Good. How's your COVID?
How's it COVID? You know, it's okay. I'm here in Brooklyn alone in my apartment, except for the mice I'm waging war with under my stove. So they say I'm alone here and I say, think again.
I mean, that's kind of nice. It's kind of the only time in your life where a little mouse infestation could be welcome company.
I have gotten to a point where I'm like, I'll enter the laundry room because there were rats there once. And I was like, rats, uh-huh. I'm ready for you.
Oh, you're feeling that now.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling it. Like, I'm ready for like a war.
Emmett, you could turn into like Brooks from Shawshank Redemption and just take one under your wing and start to feed it and make a new friend.
Okay, I could do that, but also they're just shitting all over my stuff. And
sorry.
it's you know, it's okay. It was cute when I like you know, because they're so small, they look spherical, which is adorable. But then it just sort of crossed the line. So now it's war, I think.
All right, well, Emmett, tell us why you called. But are you trying to get advice about the mouse, or is there something else?
No.
I'm a licensed exterminator, if you need help.
Are you actually?
No.
No, Todd Barry is a licensed exterminator.
Extremely famous. Go ahead.
No, I called because, So, as I said, I'm quarantined alone, so obviously I'm extremely bored. And so I've been casually dating recently. Got out of a relationship in like December. And so it's, you know, it's like casual dating time. And so I changed my Tinder bio to say something along the lines of, actually, who am I kidding? I know exactly what it says. It says looking to start an email correspondence. That is long, heady, and erotically charged with international implications, because I am.
Wait, what are the international implications? What, you want to move?
No, it's so rich that there's just international. I don't know. You know, it just sounds like what.
How do you verify that they're really like they might live next door to you and they're like, I'm in France.
Well, okay, so listen. I don't, because this person that I have ended up talking to lives in Bed-Stuy, so it's not like super international.
No, it's the same borough even.
Yeah, it's the same borough. It's really inter-borough instead of international, or intra-borough, I guess. But yeah, so I made that my thing, and then this person, we'll call them K.
I know.
Just sends me. Oh yeah, you know this person. Like, oh yeah, Bed-Stuy K.
Bed-Stuy K is he's a notorious international con man.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I'm getting catfish over email.
You probably are, but you know what? No, it's okay if you're getting catfish because you have the mice, so the catfish will just dine and be happy.
I like that. I hope that is. Maybe that's what I need is a catfish. I'm also trying to foster a cat, which would help with the mice. But anyway, so this person just sent me a message that was just their email address. Whoa. I didn't really think anyone was going to bite. But I emailed this person, and now we've been emailing back and forth for 5 days, which in quarantine time is a year and a half.
You have the math worked out pretty well.
And
I
what,
had
what's
to do
the,
some quick conversion.
What's the tone of the emails that you guys are sending?
Erotically
out?
Charged.
Right. No, they're not, though. They're not erotically charged. It's part of the problem. I mean, it's not a problem yet. I'm just, okay, the tone of the emails, it's basically like, imagine you're on a first date, and it's a good date. It's a good first date. But instead of going back and forth, you just like do like paragraph to paragraph. Instead of just like quick witty banter back and forth, it's like
you need to G-chat.
Yeah.
No, I okay. Listen. But this is the thing. I think that
that's all any of us can do right now, Emmett.
No, I think that part of what is feels both sort of exciting and also very like of the moment is that. I don't know. It's just, I think that the email thing was sort of an answer to like not wanting to do the whole like online conversation, quick back and forth. And, oh, and then the other thing is I've matched with this person on Tinder before. And we had sort of like a quick back and forth that never amounted to anything because that's sort of the nature of those things a lot of the time.
Do they know that? Do they know that you've had a match before?
Yeah, they went
we
back and forth.
We haven't talked about it, but I assume so. I don't know. Maybe they don't.
Okay, so
are you?
Go ahead.
Problem
Tom.
Is that they're just long-winded and they're not engaging you.
I would think you would love somebody.
They are.
Emmett, I would think you would love somebody long-winded.
you have a really acute sense of who I am as a person already. No, I do really like them, and it's nice, and like you know, we're hitting all the bases. We're talking about Tiger King. We're
sure.
talking about, you know, our Eastern European family histories and traumas and, you know, like what we're cooking. It's really nice. I'm really enjoying it quite a bit. And I think that sort of the issue is like, I think that if the literal global pandemic weren't happening, I think that I would really want to go on a date with this person and see where it goes, but we just simply can't get within 6 feet of each other for
right.
the foreseeable future. And
wait, why is that? I'm joking.
It's like, I really hate to be the one to tell you.
Wait, Emmett, I have an Emmett, right? It's Emmett, right?
Yeah.
I have an idea. Yeah. I got an idea right now. I think I have a really sweet,
okay.
This is sweet, I think. What I want to do is just make fun of you, but I really have a good idea here.
You can do that also.
I think I have a good idea here. You have to ask him, right? You have to ask him. This person, Kay.
You know, honestly, yeah, Kay.
Kay, great. You have to ask Kay.
Them.
Ask Kay on a date. Say, you know, having this COVID romance with you, I feel like I'm writing letters back and forth from the Civil War back to the peace front. I want to have a real first date. And then what you do is you both order delivery from the same restaurant, right? You look at the menu together. You decide what you're going to order. You order takeout from the same restaurant. You put a little candle on a table. Kay puts a candle on a table. You guys dine together over FaceTime. Uh-huh. Over FaceTime. You got to take it to that FaceTime level. Doesn't mean you have to always do FaceTime, but just for the date, you guys have a FaceTime date.
Right.
I think
that's a great idea.
Right? And then then afterwards you watch a movie together. Netflix has a feature right now where you can start.
Oh yeah, Netflix party.
Yeah, so you have you eat dinner and then do a movie, and then who knows, afterwards you might even go into a little bit of erotic emailing.
Okay, I have thought about this. I have considered this, and I think it's totally possible. But then it's sort of like, what then? You know,
let me tell you what I'm hearing.
Okay.
I feel. Are you worried about ruining it? The thing, the whatever you like about just the emailing by talking.
Maybe it's partially that, but I think mostly just what I'm worried about is that we're going to be trapped inside of our apartments for too long of a time for something to be sustained over the internet or like digitally.
Maybe you're just getting ahead of yourself, Emma. You should just go with the flow.
That's what I think too, dude.
Technology, like I used to be very anti-tech, like until COVID, until COVID, and now I'm like kind of into it.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a friend.
It's okay.
Should thank your lucky stars that you have something that's exciting that's happening in your life right now.
I know.
I have a
true.
Friend, no joke, who spent the last 2 days assembling a exercise wheel for his cat.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy, Emma?
How did that take 2 days?
It's a long story. Todd?
That's a lot of time.
No, but I mean, yeah, it's like, I think you just got to go with it.
Yeah, this is cool. You have an adventure, even if it's fake, even if it's a figment of your imagination, which it sounds like you're worried about too. Like, what a great figment of your imagination to be able to have a romance, even if it's
a fake
romance.
Do you know what this person looks like?
Yeah, because we matched on Tinder, so I see like their photos and stuff.
Okay.
I think you're lucky. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm lucky too, and I think it's, I think technically it's a very like fun and romantic thing to be happening.
But wouldn't you have this anxiety if you were real life dating?
That is a good point, Todd. This is the same.
You know,
because like
that's going to have to cause me to like dig deep and think about myself.
But I mean, like after you've gone out with someone like a couple of times, there's that whole like, oh my, how, when can I contact them? When can I do that? You know?
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I don't really feel so much of that because I tend to just sort of, I don't know. I do, I think in like regular non-pandemic life tend to be just pretty upfront and honest with people that I'm dating. So I guess I could do that now also, but
it's hard to be that forward with someone who you haven't actually met, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. I think the other thing is that so we're emailing, which to me is an inherently erotic thing to do because I feel like email,
it's letter writing. It still has that old school feeling. I like it.
Erotic or romantic?
No, erotic because
wow, we got a real tech bro on our hands over here, huh?
Because to me. Email is very like designated for work or like, you know, like I just graduated from college. So like emailing like professors. And so to have sort of a little bit of like a romance over email feels very like, you know, like forbidden. But maybe
I love that you think email is just for emailing professors.
Well, I said work and professors, and I think this just sort of also goes to show like I don't know a little bit of my like professor thing going on.
Also, if you have coworkers, you need to warn them that you have some kind of a weird sexual psychological link every time you email them. I think they deserve to know.
Are your emails with K, are they erotic emails?
No, so that I think is the other part of my question is, I don't know, like they can be sort of flirty at times, right? So something like an exchange that we just had which was you're going to laugh at these emails, but.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. So they said, they were telling me that like they used to like play soccer in college, right? And that they, you know, it doesn't matter. They played soccer in college.
Too bad they didn't teach soccer, or you would have been horny as hell. That's a professor for you.
Listen, get this. And then I said, oh, well, you know, I've kind of always had, like, historically, things for soccer players. And then they were like, wow, like, I'm fascinated by that. And
that's not that's wrong answer.
No, I feel like that means they want to hear more about that. Anyway, and then they said, I realized recently that there's this huge connection between how I think about soccer and how I think about sex.
Wait a minute.
They said that?
Yes.
So wait, the problem is you're incompatible. You only get horny when you email, and he only gets horny when he's playing. So when they're playing soccer, I think that's the problem.
I mean, email. Yes. So you back guys
are
forth.
You guys are flirting. You guys, it's going there. I think ordering, asking him or them out on a date, and uh-huh. and doing that whole thing, and then at the end saying to Kay, if you want to, you know, at the end of a date, I sometimes like to hook up with people. So if you want to do that, uh-huh. I want to do it via email. You know, and then you can find out how it feels the next day. If it feels weird,
I think Moshe, with all due respect, is skipping a few steps.
Okay, but,
I don't think you want to plan like a 5-hour aiming your camera at the food you're eating, kind of worrying about. Then you'll be worried about the angles and the, you know, did you frame the shot well?
All right.
It's not exactly what I want to just be eating on camera.
It's pretty vulgar, to be
eating,
honest.
Yeah, that's.
Everyone,
okay. Listen to someone's eating.
Yeah, eating on video is okay. Is a all right, vulgar.
Maybe it's not my best shot. What do you think, Todd?
I think the next logical step is to do a text based communication that's instant, like G chat or something like that.
Yeah. Man, my idea is so much more romantic.
But Todd's right, like transitioning to something that feels, like you said, more like repartee. Because at this point, you know, you can like, I mean, that's actually why I prefer email, because it takes me longer to come up with stuff sometimes. You know, texting is so immediate. I like the idea of email, but the thing that I think you have to really remember is that they took your bait. You wrote a very stupid post. And they were like, okay. Yeah. So I think that's an important thing for you to remember. And just, you know, you can be a little more bold with them.
I think so too. I dated someone, this is weird, who I texted, when I would text with her, it was very exciting and I felt like, I'm really kind of falling for this person. And then when we'd hang out in person, I'd be like, I don't think I like this person's personality. They had like a good text personality. Mm-hmm. But that probably just scares you a little more. I got another suggestion, if Todd didn't like my first one, that I think is way less intrusive and way more realistic. Okay. I think Todd's suggestion of going into texting is just totally off the mark.
No, I would go GChat, not texting.
Something, oh, that's good.
Quick. I think that's
something quick where you can just bam, boom, boom, boom.
I like the GChat.
I think the GChat suggestion is crazy. I don't it doesn't make any sense.
So, I'm from California. I can't.
Wait, why don't you think it makes sense, Moshe?
Well, you'll know when I pitch my idea. This is, I think,
I want to hear Moshe speak.
I'm listening.
Much more realistic. You both order hazmat suits from Amazon. Then you meet in a dark park somewhere in New York, in the Brooklyn area, and you mutually masturbate from 6+ feet away while making eye contact through the spit barrier.
Yeah, I don't hate that as an idea.
Todd, what do you think?
My friend and I were talking the other day about how maybe the the latex kink community is probably having a real renaissance right now. And so that feels sort of akin to that. There could be some sort of like full body condom situation. I don't know.
Like Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun.
Wait, the kink world is activated by COVID?
Well, he's saying
just like the full body latex situation.
Oh, right.
All right, Todd, what do you think? Hazmat? A mutual masturbation session or GChat? What's more reasonable?
I know which one you like. You like the one that's complicated and unrealistic. I say GChat. Here's the deal. GChat into FaceTime into you're bored with each other and then you move on.
That's what I don't want to happen.
Wait, or GChat into FaceTime into vaccine into real life into love and marriage for 2.5 kids and a golden retriever.
Right.
It's all possible.
Or a German
Emmett.
Shepherd.
Or a German Shepherd if you're scared, and you should be, Emmett. You really should be.
I would seriously, GChat is the way to go.
Okay, Todd's right. GChat.
Because then you can have a real conversation, like in real time.
See if they can keep up.
Something that's been nice about this is that I think that having to take more time to think about how I'm responding to them has really, really saved me from saying the stupid shit I would normally say to somebody, you know, like I feel like it's let me get a little bit farther in this process.
No, but
also just like other people say stupid shit when they're just texting.
No, but Todd's right. You guys have been doing that for 5 weeks, taking it very slow.
Oh, 5 weeks?
Yeah.
No, 5 days.
Oh, 5 days.
Oh, five days. You know what? I think you don't. I mean, 5 days is, probably does seem like a long time if you're hitting it off with someone. You know, you could do another week or so of that and then ease into G-chat, or you could start right away. Let's not overthink this.
But it's time to show Kay another side of who you are, you professor email horny motherfucker, you. Thank you. Hey, good luck out there. Tell us how it goes. Keep in touch. We want to know what happens next.
All right. I think you got good some luck. Really good advice tonight.
Yeah, good luck. Bye, Emmett.
Right. Do I stay on the line?
Bye-bye. Yeah, you can stay on, Todd.
Bye, Emmett.
Bye.
Did we hang up on Todd? Should we call him back and say goodbye?
Thank you, yeah.
Okay, let's call him back and say thanks.
Say goodnight.
And say goodnight,
maybe
Todd.
Maybe ask him if he has any advice for us out here.
What? Yeah.
Oh, we lost you.
I know.
Todd, that was great. Thank you for indulging us. You're probably getting tired.
No, I've been burning through Better Call Saul. It's really good.
I have heard Better Call Saul is even better than Breaking Bad.
What season
it's
are you on?
It's pretty great. What's that? I'm on season 2.
Wow. So we could start at the beginning soon.
You should?
Yeah. I'm saying you're saying you started at season 1 like recently.
Yeah. I mean, I'm late to the party, but
well,
did you watch
it? No, I haven't seen it at all. So that makes me feel, because sometimes I get stressed out because I'm like, oh, I can't start.
Yeah,
if something's 8 seasons. I
got nothing but time.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of why I didn't. I also had just burned through like Breaking Bad. I was like, I need a little break from this, even though I loved it. And then someone said Better Call Saul is good, which I always assumed it would be. And then I just dove in. I was like, ooh, this is good.
Wait, you're saying you needed a break from Breaking Bad, so you dove into the prequel?
No. I didn't. If you watch. I did a quick burn through of Breaking Bad, whatever, a couple of years ago. And I didn't immediately want to do another dive into a Breaking Bad spinoff.
Maybe we should watch it. I did love Breaking Bad.
Oh, I did too. I thought it was great.
You know what? I think we should start that show because I started Veep recently and it was hilarious, even though I started in season 1. You know, like I just had never seen it when people were watching it.
Are we still being recorded right now?
Yeah. But don't worry. We're probably editing this whole part out.
Well, I hear something in the background.
Oh, there is an echo. Yeah, there's an echo. Hey, are we doing another call? Todd, do you want to stick around or do you want us to say goodbye?
This is fun. Let's do it.
You want to do another
one? I actually have a landline. I wonder if she'd call me on my landline.
Oh, there we go.
Is that better, Laura?
So, okay.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's call you on the landline, see if it's better.
I have to learn my landline number. Hold on a second.
Will you text it to us? So we
actually. What's your number? And what's your number? And I'll send it to you by dialing your fucking.
Great. 310-927.
Hold on.
No, she needs.
You know what?
She needs to call Laura's.
Oh, but he's gonna.
You know what?
What's up?
The battery's dead. So let's stay on here.
Okay, we'll stay on here. Okay.
Wait, the battery's dead on a landline?
No, like a cordless phone.
Oh.
But this is all going to get cut out, you're saying, Laura? Okay. Let's do it. Should we do another?
We should keep in Breaking Bad because I think that's good for people to know to like what shows are good that you can start watching right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
People are bored. People need some tips.
Better Call Saul is excellent.
Well, I just watched a documentary on Netflix called Crip Camp. And it really made me emotional. It was this Obama-produced documentary about this summer camp for disabled kids. And
oh, man.
In the 60s and 70s. And like because it was the 60s, there was all this like cultural revolution in the air. And these young kids who'd never had any autonomy or freedom in their lives up until going to that camp were like sitting around smoking dope and talking about like revolution, which was like... They'd never even been treated as human beings up until that point. And then they all went home and started the disability rights movement to great effect. It was, and I, as a kid who grew up with two disabled parents, it was like, it really,
you were getting emotional.
It really moved me. Yeah. I loved it. So if you want to cry.
But these are great tips, things for people to watch.
Sure. What do you
got? Did you watch Tiger King?
Yeah, we did watch Tiger King.
I felt like it could have been like slightly less of my time for that story.
You think it went one episode, two more, too much?
I mean, I think like an hour and a half documentary about something is awesome. Like, I don't really understand why I need to go through like a 6-episode series.
Right. Imagine if that thing had been an hour and a half.
Well, it's just like, I think a lot like that cheerleading documentary that everybody loved. I like watched it for like 9 hours and didn't even watch the last half hour. It was like way too drawn out.
We've been watching Dave too, which is fun. It's a rapper named
What is?
Dave. It's a rapper named Lil Dicky, and the guy that co-created Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's a very fun show.
That show's funny.
Okay, Todd, what do you think? Would you like to join us for another call?
All right.
Hey, Taj.
Yeah, Moj.
I ask you a question.
Yeah.
You like sex?
Yeah.
You do? You like sex?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You like sex?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. You like sex with a man with a flaccid boner or a not flaccid boner? Flaccid or not flaccid?
Not flaccid.
Well, that's where Blue Chew comes into the equation. BlueChew.com offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. At BlueChew.com, you can get the same chewables with active ingredients like sildenafil or tadalafil. These are the active ingredients in Viagra and Cialis, and I did mispronounce them both.
So chewables can work faster.
Yeah, you chew them up, you boner on rock, you're going to be ready to go. The online physician consult at BlueChew.com is free, so it's cheaper than the other two. Viagra, Cialis, you got to go to see a guy.
Okay, and here's a great deal for you guys. You visit BlueChew.com, get your first order free when you use promo code HONEYMOON. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code HONEYMOON.
That's right. There's no in-person doctor visit, so you don't have to be embarrassed and be like, my dick is, I just wish it could be a little bit more bonery. You can just do it online. No embarrassment. BlueChew.com, promo code HONEYMOON. All you do, pay that $5 shipping and get that boner on rock. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Moj.
Let me ask you something. You like the way I smell?
You always smell good.
You think I smell good?
Mm-hmm.
Don't thank me. Thank Native deodorant, because that's what I wear. I wasn't always a Native deodorant wearer, but then they sent me a stick or two, and I have been a loyal devotee ever since.
You're so cute. You carry around the two of them. You have like two different smells.
I got that lavender. I got that cucumber mint. I like smelling like a flowery mojito, so sometimes I'll mix them both up. They're natural. They're safe. There's great ingredients, right?
They have amazing scents with over 10 scents, including their classics and rotating seasonals. You're guaranteed to find one you love. Classic scents include coconut and vanilla.
Oh, I want that one.
Lavender rose.
That's mine.
Cucumber and mint.
I do that.
Eucalyptus and mint.
Never tried it. But I would love a coconut vanilla. I might order one right now. They're soothing. There's a variety of options for men, women, and even teens. They got teen deodorant? I didn't know that was legal.
There's no risk to try. Free shipping on every order, and Native offers 30-day free returns and exchanges in the USA.
I'm not kidding. Native is a quality deodorant that will make you smell good all day long. So for 20% off your first purchase, go to nativedeodorant.com, promo code HONEYMOON during checkout. Mail to your door. You don't have to go to that CVS where they got that COVID everywhere. nativedeodorant.com, promo code HONEYMOON. We're now going to call Jody in Dallas.
All right.
Sorry, our producer has to text through her surgical gloves.
It works.
That's the only person we're letting in our house.
Hello.
Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Jody. Jody.
Hello.
Jody.
Hello.
Jody.
Hey, this is Jody.
Hi,
hey,
Jody.
It's Natasha Leggero, Moshe Kasher, and Todd Berry, our special guest.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Isn't that a funny question right now? I've been noticing when people ask me, how are you? I'm just like, not good. Like,
I keep asking Moshe. I'm like, is everything okay? He's like, no. Is everything okay with you? And I'm like, no.
It's just a funny time for how are you? It's like, I don't know. There's a pandemic kind of, so... But yeah. We should start saying something like, aside from the pandemic, how you doing?
Other than the obvious, what's up?
Well, Jody, other than the obvious, what's up? Why did you contact us?
Okay, so it is related to COVID-19.
Hell yeah.
So my boyfriend and I have been together for almost 3 years. We've lived together for a little bit over a year, and I guess just the isolation is really kind of eye-opening for me. I think a lot of the things that I kind of anticipated doing, I mean, during this time when it's just he and I, he doesn't really have any interest in doing. I will say things like, you know, do you want to watch this movie, or do you want to do a puzzle, or go get the mail or something? And he'll just be like, no.
Wait, he leaves it at that? He and just I'm says like, no? Okay.
So, like, you know, I just want to make it clear, I'm not super interested in getting the mail either. But it's more of like,
you're just trying to make like a fun life.
Yeah, like what are we going to do together since all of this time?
Do you have a lot of space in your place?
Sorry, what?
Do you have a lot of space in your house or apartment?
It's about 700 square feet.
That's about what I got.
So
a little more, actually. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
I deserve that. I deserve that.
So, I mean, I really enjoy my alone time, and so does he. And I think that the past year that we've lived together have been really, you know, we've kind of lived cohesively because we both can be alone together, if that makes sense. But now it's, well, I still have to go to work in all of this. I'm a nanny full time, and it's a lot. It's hard, but he works from home. And I mean, we'll have conversations where I'm like, oh, you know, like this time is so stressful because I'm with these young children and the parents are still home, and it's kind of awkward because they want to, you know, run into their parents' office and like bother them, and they have really stressful jobs and they're dealing with stuff too, and it's just, you know, especially hard. And he's working from home and he's really excited about it and he's really happy to just do nothing really. And I was just like, oh, you know, just complaining, I guess, to him about it. And he's like, well, you know, that's because I learned a skill that got me an office job to where I get to work from home. Like, so, you know, that's, it is fair actually, because I, you know, got a degree and I, you know, it's just kind of like being like, well, you know, you kind of put yourself in this situation, wouldn't it? Like, I didn't ask for a global pandemic.
Well, I don't know about that. I've been talking to your boyfriend, actually, and I'm hardcore on his side, and he says that in some ways you did cause the COVID-19 pandemic. Is that
true? I heard that you asked for it. I definitely heard you ask for it.
Well, yeah, you might not have caused it, but you did ask for it. That's right. So it sounds like your boyfriend, either newly or classically, and you're just discovering it now because you're spending a lot of time with him, is kind of an asshole.
I mean, yeah. And it's funny because when we first started dating, I met him through one of my old roommates. And I was asking her, you know, like, what's his deal? What's going on with him? Like, who's that guy? And she's like, oh, he's an asshole. I like didn't listen to her.
You're like stuck in a 700-foot apartment in a pandemic with an asshole you want to break up with.
Oh, man.
And it is hard because, like, I mean, and it's really, like, little stuff that I'm just, like, I don't even know what the point of you being that way is. Like, he'll go to the grocery store and all of this, and I'm like, hey, you know, I want you to get these 5 things if you're going to go. And so he's like, fine, sure, yeah. And he'll go and he'll get, like, all the groceries and everything, and he'll come home and he'll put his groceries away and leave my 5 things
alone.
Keep them on the counter. And I don't even notice. I like come out of my room and I'm like, okay.
Is
so
he leaving it? You know what?
Ice cream,
okay. But I was going to say, maybe, not to defend him, but maybe he's saying, here, I got you your stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, he went through the trouble of like putting everything else away, and my stuff was kind of like
her ice cream's melting on the.
You know another. Another way he could say, "Hey, I got your stuff," is to walk.
You want me to put it away,
or to walk into your room and say, "Hey, I got you your stuff."
Hey. I'm home.
It's all in there. Wait, so when you say that you say like, "Do you want to do this or that?" He says no. Is that literally what he says? Does he actually just say no?
Those things don't really interest me.
See, I feel like that's a bummer because this is a time to yes and if you're in a relationship.
100%.
You should just be like, yeah, let's go get the mail. Like, even if it's not your dream thing to do, let's fucking go get the mail and have fun with it.
You're so right, Todd. You just have to say yes in this time period.
Let me ask you this. Your employers, they have a great big house?
Yeah.
And how would they respond if you were like, I'd like to take a couple months being a live-in nanny?
No, she sounds as funny as a good idea.
Todd, wait, say that again.
They're not really that great. I mean, I've worked for them for like 2.5 years. Their kid is 5 now, and I've been there since she was 2. And... I just feel like,
well, let me just tell you why I was going to say that. I hear what you're saying. You don't want to live with your boss, but what I'm smelling right now is because you guys are locked together and you're getting on each other's nerves more than before, or because you're spending so much time with him, you're now finally realizing that he's literally the exact thing that you always knew he was because you were warned verbally that he was this thing. You're discovering that he's a bit of an asshole right now. And this is day 7 of the quarantine, and this is going to go on for 2 months or more, and there is no way that he's just going to one day pop up and be like, you know, everything's good now, and I'm like, you're still working?
Have you guys had any fun together?
I mean,
great question.
Good question, like, Todd. Sorry, good question.
We've been watching like one Harry Potter movie a night. Neither of us are big
what the fuck?
He's just like,
no, I don't like either of you.
But then, I mean, even like, okay, so guys, everything is just so on his terms all of the time. So any show that comes like on Hulu or something, and I'm like, oh, this show is like, the new episode is here, do you want to watch it? He's like, no, that's a Saturday morning show. And
oh,
if you watch it
God.
Before me, we're not going to watch it together. Like,
this guy sucks. Again. I'm not usually this prescriptive, but this guy sucks.
Yeah, he's just like, no, we're not going to watch that yet. We're going to do that on Saturday.
Whose name is on the lease?
Both of us.
Oh.
And
our lease is up. Next February.
I mean, this is a nightmare.
Think of how many times you want to get the mail by February.
And there's only so many Harry Potter movies to go around.
There's only 7.
Oh, there's only 7. You're screwed. You shouldn't have done a Potter a night. You should have done a Potter a week. I think you should think more seriously about asking your nanny people if you can move in with them, because
they would love it. They honestly would.
There you go. Get out of this.
Wait, do you have to, like, because I got rid of my nanny because I had someone helping me, you know, and I would go to work. And now that I have to be home, I don't have the nanny, and she has a son who goes to UCLA, and there were cases there, so I don't really feel comfortable having her here. Like, I don't want to ask someone to social distance. Like, does that family make you social distance and promise that you're not?
No, they're not really concerned with me.
Well, Moon, it's good that Mocha wants you to live with
them. I mean, they're the kind of people, they have like this beautiful geometric house, you know, like you would never know a kid lived there. And they're very like, I don't know, they've got Teslas and they send their kid to a like $30,000 a year preschool and all this stuff. And then when I ask like for a dollar raise, they're like, excuse me, but we just bought a Peloton bike and you know, we're just buying a Tesla and like we're gonna have all of these expenses. And it's just kind of like, it's not like you've been a nanny for 10 years.
Wait, so, is everyone in your life talking to you like this?
Yeah, I would say.
I don't know what it is about me. Like, what did
it
I
might
do?
Be you. Yeah.
I'm pretty cool. Like, what's going on?
Todd, anything?
Wow. It's, well, because they sound like I don't know if I'd rush to move in.
No.
Unless at a guest house.
No, I'm not there either.
And it's hard to break up in these situations, I would imagine. I've never broken up during a pandemic.
Yeah, how would you even do that?
If I were you, I would fucking get out of there because I smell that this is the beginning fuses of what's about to be like one of the worst experiences of your life.
How do you get out?
Where are your parents? Are they alive? Do they like you?
My parents are... my parents are both teachers. They're nearby, but like they make pretty much no money. I mean, like they've always been super catastrophic and non-helpful.
Wait,
have you ever had the company of someone who was a nice person?
Oh man.
Who's the most positive influence in your life right
wow.
now?
Maybe we are.
Yeah, maybe we are. Well,
I think you can move in with Moshe and Natasha.
Yeah, honestly.
You need like a nanny. Your nanny seems like she's got a lot going on.
Well, no problem. If you've just got some references from your last employer that says you're kind of a cool
I've got
person.
So many references.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's your name, Jody?
Jody.
Have you guys been arguing a lot? Do you guys fight?
Well, it won't ever, he won't even, dignify it with a fight. Like, I mean, when I come home and I tell him about my day, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, the little girl that I nanny, I'll tell him, like, a story about, like, I don't know, whatever. And, like, he won't even, like, say anything. He'll just kind of be like, quiet for maybe a couple minutes and say, wow, that's crazy.
That sucks because you're excited to share someone with something with someone, and they just fucking shut you down because they're fucking sounds like a dentist.
I just think that like anytime I ever say anything to him about like, hey, like what kind of response is that? Or like do you have, I don't know, he just never has any response to anything. Or like today I told him to close the blinds because there was a glare on the TV. And I was like, make sure that you turn the little thing so that the blinds close also. And he's like, yeah, 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 I know. Like, I get that. I understand that. And I'm like, okay, I just didn't clarify. I just wanted to make sure that you, like, knew what I meant. Like, and he's just like, yeah, 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 but you're talking to me like I'm stupid. And I'm not stupid. Like, of course I'm going to do that. And I'm just like,
oh. Okay, Jody. Jody, I have an idea now. And this is going to be one that Todd's going to just love.
Okay.
I'm going to give you advice the way that I would give you advice if we weren't in a pandemic. And you were in this situation where you can't quite make a decision to pull the trigger to leave, which is actually, I would just break up with the guy and leave. But because you can't, what's important is it sounds very clear that your dynamic with this guy is he says something obnoxious to you and you try to explain why it's obnoxious, or you try to explain what you really meant. And rather than you sitting down in a time when you weren't fighting and say, hey, I'm basically blowing oxygen into this relationship and saying, hey, the way that we're interacting lately, it's not working for me. It's not, I'm not enjoying it. I'm not feeling appreciated. I'm not feeling respected. I'm not feeling like you are treating me the way that I deserve to be treated. Like, have a real conversation with him so that either A, he'll understand where you're coming from and try to change his behavior, or B, you'll get a really clear picture of the fact that there's no way this guy's going to change, and you either have to lock yourself in your room for the next 4 months and try to ignore him because he's clearly a piece of shit, or you have to find another roommate in the Dallas area and just suck it up and go pay as little rent as you can.
You guys are in the game. I think Moshe shockingly gave you good advice. Did you guys ever have fun together? Like, was there ever like, wow, this is great?
Yeah, I think it was more when we didn't live together. I think when we had our time to kind of like decompress for a couple of days, it was easier. And I wasn't like getting the full picture back then.
Right.
But now, I mean, in Moshe, I feel like I've had that conversation with him where I'm like, hey, you know, this doesn't work for me. Or like, oh my gosh, I could give so many examples of just like,
I'm a more example.
Okay, so this is kind of a heavy thing that I'm going to say.
Okay.
Everybody's ready?
We're ready.
Okay. So in the fall, I had an abortion, and it was a kind of a difficult decision for me. I'm a nanny. I really enjoy kids, and I like feel like, you know, I would always want to have kids, but it just wasn't the right time. My boyfriend's an asshole. So I didn't do that, but like kind of in the decision making during that time, he was like, oh, I think you'd be a great mother one day, and I want to be like a parent with you one day, but like it's just not the time. And like it was just this big thing. And so, and then earlier last week, we were talking, my friend recently had a kid, and we were just like talking about like her and her kid and stuff. And we were talking about breastfeeding, and I was like kind of explaining to him like the process and everything. And he was like, that's repulsive. I never want to think about that. I don't want to talk about that. Like,
no.
I'm never going to have kids. That's so gross. That I was like, wait, no, seriously, tell me, like, are you never going to have kids? Is that seriously something that you're saying? And he was like, no, never. And I'm just, oh, it just grosses me out to think of him like looking at his girlfriend who's pregnant and considering an abortion and saying like, oh, you'd be a great mom. And like, I want to do that with you one day, but not right now. And like, then,
oh, you think later, you think
no.
You think essentially that was a script that he was coming up with to try to convince you that you were doing the right thing, essentially.
Oh, yeah. And he would say, like, you know, if you made this decision and like kept it, like, obviously it wouldn't have been a good idea. I don't have like, right. I'm a nanny. Like, I don't really have like a career set up or anything yet. And it's like,
no, I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying.
He's just like, you know, it's not the right time or whatever, but he was still, he told me, he was like, if you did this, I would resent you.
Yeah. Listen.
Did you breastfed or have the abortion?
If I
didn't have the abortion. Right. Listen, that's a different category. Not even because of the abortion, which is heavy. And I, you know, I'm sorry that was a difficult decision for you. And it sounds like you know you did the right thing, which is important. But, the category of you think that this guy might be coming up with like fake empathy in order to convince you to get his way, you're in the category of like, you've moved a little bit past asshole into like the cousin of evil, you know? And I really, at this point, my professional opinion as a stand-up comedian is I think you should find, exhaust your resources to find another place to live. I don't think that you should stay in this in a 700-foot apartment with a person who's this big of a dick 7 days into the quarantine, because a month in, it's going to turn into something uglier, and I don't like it. I think you should get out. That's my opinion. I know that's easy to say.
Yeah, also, I don't hear you doing a lot of defending him. So maybe we're all in agreement here.
Yeah, fair point, Todd.
There's not a lot of redeeming qualities that really come to mind immediately. So,
well, if you're able to say that, because I mean, sometimes that's hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't want to break up with someone, but if it's that easy for you to go, he's got no redeeming qualities.
Well, Todd, he's a big fan of you.
Well, wow.
Seriously?
So no redeeming qualities. Not even one.
Is that true?
It is true. We saw you in Dallas at the Majestic Theater, and he shook your hand.
Oh, really?
Todd, maybe you're responsible. Yeah. Jody, well, the other thing about...
Now he has a new reason to like me.
Well, something that someone told me a long time ago that I always thought of is like, how does someone make you feel? And seems like when you're around him, he kind of makes you feel like a stupid piece of shit.
Just so like it, constantly rejected. I mean, like,
yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's like, well, that's just not worth it. So I kind of agree with Moshe. Try to figure out a way out of it.
Yeah, get
if you
out.
You know, you want to break up with him. If you kind of, like,
I have one more question. Okay. I have one more question. Okay. If you're ever like sad about something, is he a good listener? I'm guessing no, but.
Is he
helpful or does he just act bored? Or
I think he's just like, it's kind of like I'll explain it to him and then he'll just be quiet and it's like, oh great, now my girlfriend's upset.
He's like,
and like has the nothing mood to do with him, right? Apartment is like tragedy.
He's like, you know, and how Harry Potter used to deal with sadness.
He moved out. Harry Potter moved out.
Harry Potter did move out. He actually literally did move out. Actually, you know what? Harry Potter is a great corollary for this. Harry Potter was living in a situation where he was with people that he thought he was supposed to love because he lived with them and they were there to take care of him. But then he came to realize that they weren't taking care of him and that there was a whole new world of adventure that was just at his fingertips and all he had to do was leave and go to Hogwarts. I think you need to find a Hogwarts, Jody.
I can't believe you know that much about Harry Potter.
I'm Harry in this.
I literally didn't know any of that.
Todd,
I'm as turned off as you are.
Hey, Todd, speaking of things that you could do during this pandemic, things to stream, if you got the first Harry Potter book and read it, I almost guarantee you would finish all 10 books. They are so good.
Really?
They are fun. Hell yeah.
I remember Janine Garofalo used to recommend them, and I was just like, I can't.
I'm not a big fan. Harry Potter's kind of a jock.
A jock? Oh, because he plays that broom ball?
He's a seeker. He plays Quidditch. His parents are famous. I don't care about him.
Yeah, you sound like you're not a big fan, Jody. It sounds like you don't know anything about this universe. Jody, my last thing that I'm thinking is, if you're worried about being on the lease and your credit being affected, credit is destroyed. No one cares anymore. We're all going into bankruptcy right now. Like the least important thing on your credit history is going to be that you broke your lease during the pandemic. Like, no one cares. Move in with your parents, find roommates somehow out there that have, you know, you can afford the rent. Just get the fuck out. This guy's a dick and you deserve to be treated well. I like you. We've talked to you only for 15 minutes and you seem funny and cool and smart, and he's treating you like you're none of those things and you deserve better.
Thank you, Moshe.
You're welcome.
Moshe, you're not factoring in that he's a fan of mine.
Oh. Stay with him. Stay with
him. That was a new twist and a wrinkle in the case.
Yeah, I was saving it.
It changed everything.
Well, listen, even every great artist has people that emulate them that are terrible. And so in this case, this is
you mean
your
like
man.
You doing a crowd work album? You handed me that one. That was good.
I didn't like it. Jody, good luck out there. Will you keep in touch and tell us what you decided to do?
I will.
All right.
Yeah, Jody.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
You guys are the kings.
Don't let your boyfriend beat me up. I don't want him to beat me up.
Wait, is Natasha the queen or are we just the kings?
Natasha is the queen, but she's in her own category.
Oh,
okay?
That's fair.
Thank you.
Good luck, Jody.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Man. That, Todd, you there?
Yeah.
That just bummed me out.
Well, I just think there's like, I have a lot of single friends who are like complaining about being alone and bored in the pandemic, but I
Hell
think
yeah.
being in a bad relationship.
Great point.
Yeah, imagine if you were in that thing where like you just realized, we shouldn't be living together. And then
and there's literally nowhere you could go. That
like
is
your studio apartment. There's
like it's unhealthy to go somewhere else. Like it's scary to like even go look at someone else's apartment. So you're kind of stuck. Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that are trapped in domestic violence situations right now that can't get out, and their abusers have even more control over them. That's sort of why I was so prescriptive about her leaving, because I don't like any of the details, and I just feel like it could go dark. What do I know? I hope I'm wrong.
And she also didn't do that thing where you're like, well, he's actually can be really nice.
Right. That was such
it was almost like she was like, yeah, I'm ready to, I can end it.
That was such a good observation, Todd. Like, there was no part of her that was like, well, there is this thing that's good. She was just like, nope, right. He sucks all the way.
You know what it is? He's just probably, like, really hot.
You think?
Yeah.
He's what?
He's, like, really hot.
That's interesting.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, she's just like, oh, yeah, maybe this guy will be my husband. And he's, like, really hot, but he's, like, an idiot.
Right. Oh, God.
And then she'll just decide that, you know, she doesn't want him anymore.
I hate him. But I love you two guys. You're both great.
Yeah.
And I think we should probably, I mean, hey, we're probably maxed out over here, right?
Yeah, let's call it.
Okay, let's call it. Todd, Barry, you're a dear friend, and we love talking to you in person,
yes,
and we miss you.
I hope
you.
We can have dinner sometime soon.
Same here.
I think the last dinner I had out at a restaurant was maybe with Todd.
Is that right?
Or maybe, that was good, right?
Because as soon as I came home, then I wasn't really going out. Yeah, that was really good.
Well, Todd, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right.
And we'll eat again soon. We'll be in person soon, and build yourself an exercise wheel.
I'm gonna.
All right.
I'll see you later.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Todd's great.
Let's take a secret.
Hey guys. Sorry, I'm driving home right now from the gym, so it might sound weird. This isn't so much a secret as like a really embarrassing, pretty story, but. So in college, I'm graduated now. I was in a class called Psychology of Terrorism because I was a poli-sci major. And one of our projects, we had to like group up, and one of the people in my group was a veteran, which was common, especially in these types of classes. And one day, without thinking, because I'm a fucking idiot, I said, "Oh, something along the lines of like, oh, I would rather like cut off my leg than write this paper." And I completely forgot that the veteran was a fucking leg amputee from, like, war. Because, like I said, I'm a moron. And I never wanted to crawl out of my own skin and die so bad my entire life. So, yeah, that's my really cringy, stupid story. I love the podcast. You guys make me laugh every Monday on my way to work. Thanks so much. Bye.
Do you have something on this?
No.
I do. I used to have this bit where... It was a bad bit, but I was doing it, and it was about that if you have a friend who has like a fucked up hand, you should be required to call ahead when you're bringing that friend around to warn everybody at the party. I'm bringing my friend by. He's got a fucked up hand. So just so you know. And, you know, that was the bit. And then I would do a thing where you fake grab the hand and you scream, whatever. It wasn't a great bit, but it was all I had. It was early on in comedy. I went on tour with Brent Weinbach and Alex Cole. And we did this thing where I would perform, then Alex would perform. Brent would do like a headlining set, and he would end his set with a sketch that would involve the three of us. And part of the sketch was that he had to bring an audience member from out of the audience in this sketch and bring them up on stage. And he picked someone and brought her up and like... extended his hand, and she extended her hand, and it was a fucked up hand. And I was like, fuck, I did the bit about the fucked up hand, and I never told the joke again, and I too wanted to crawl out of my skin. So I relate to you, lady. It's okay. But she wasn't a veteran, so you disrespected our troops, and that's actually fucked up.
Hi, Natasha. Hi, Moshe. So my secret is that I just got out of a very long-term relationship and I had to break off our engagement, and my family has been just bragging about how I've been dealing so well with it. What they don't know is that I've been taking Xanax and some other benzo medications and day drinking in order to seem very calm. So they have no idea of this. And yeah, that's just how I've been getting through the past days. Also, when I was younger, I did make out with my other female cousin, which she told me at the time was normal. And now I'm realizing that it probably wasn't. So yeah. Okay, bye.
Because it's not normal to make out with your cousin in general. And then like she was like, oh... Her female cousin told her this is just totally normal. This is
right.
What you're supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. I like that she added that. Because I pictured her at home going like, I don't want to have to call back. Let me just leave this completely unrelated secret. I also made out with my cousin. Have you ever made out with a cousin?
No.
I was kind of hot for a cousin when I was young, but I never took it all the way. Probably a good thing. Let's play one more.
Okay, here's my secret. Every house that I've ever babysat in, every family that I've ever babysat for, which is, I can't even figure out that number, like possibly hundreds. I snoop. I'm a huge fan of snooping. I love to go in every single drawer. And the thing is like, yes, you have to look out for nanny cams, but nanny cams usually aren't in any bathrooms or bedrooms, and that's where all the good stuff is. I have a memory of when I was like 13, one of my first times babysitting and looking in the closet and finding a bunch of like sex outfits and being really like freaked out and just disgusted. I found a set of heels that said like sex down the back of the heel, just the word sex, which I thought was just like really uncreative and disgusting. The family that I currently work for on a regular basis, like full time, they have like remote control vibrators in their drawers and there's a cock ring in there. And it's just like, no matter how little I get paid or how shitty these rich families are, I can know all their secrets and that's worth it to me. Thanks guys. I love you so much.
She's saying she's in it for the love of the game.
Is she a nanny?
She's a nanny for over 100 children in her life.
And she's looking at the cock rings in the...
Every single time. And she says that's why what keeps her going. No matter how little I get paid, I always have that. And how dare she judge the basicness of the sex stuff? The word sex written, she thought that was very generic and disgusting. You're in their shit, looking through their stuff. Insanity. Over 100 kids. Can you imagine if our nanny was looking through our stuff? Can you imagine?
It seems like a lot of people just hire young people to just come hang out with their kid.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. Don't hire the youth. They be snooping. Youth be snooping.
Should we take another secret?
Sure. Okay, so this is weird, but I have pica, which is where you eat non-food items, and I think it's linked to like an iron deficiency in some people. And I just find myself, especially when I'm stressed out, having a craving for soap. Like I'll just literally chew on soap bars or just lick liquid soap. It's very strange. But yeah, that's my secret. I've never told anyone about this. I should probably tell my doctor, but I don't want him to think I'm weird. So there you go.
Which doctor do you tell about this? Do you tell your therapist?
I think it's
your
psychiatrist. Yeah. But your medical doctor, too. It's also funny.
Your gynecologist. Right.
Oh, man. Well, the good news is she doesn't swear. She's probably physically incapable of swearing because she's had her mouth washed out with soap so many times. That's a little joke there.
I remember my mom washing my mouth out with soap.
My mom, I think my mom did that, too.
I was just like, this is disgusting. Well, I want it to end.
It could be this lady who was like, I never want it to end. It's the only thing that brings me comfort. I feel like people that eat weird stuff is like a backbone of your first stand-up special.
What is that? It's a mental disorder.
I like that she said it has been linked to an iron deficiency in some people. She knows it's not her. Well, I'm glad you unburdened yourself. it's good to tell your secrets. It's good to get them off your chest. Maybe now that you've told us, you can have the courage to tell your doctor, because maybe there are serious side effects with gnawing on a bar of Irish Spring. What do you go for? What's a delectable soap? Do you go to the African lady at the flea market when you really want to have like an artisan experience? It's like, oh, I'll have the one with the oats in it. And, rose hips too. Well, if you had to eat a bar of soap, which one would you eat?
A woman recently gave me a bar of handmade lavender soap.
So you're going to eat that one?
I would have eaten that.
I'd probably eat Dr. Bronner's because it feels like the least things are in it.
Like a peppermint? Like,
yeah.
It's like, but it doesn't feel pleasant to swallow soap.
No, I don't know what this lady's problem is, but if I have to do it, I'm going Dr. Bronner's all the way.
No,
they support psychedelic research.
They totally go to Burning
Man. They're cool. I like them. I'll eat their soap. I will eat your soap.
I will too.
All right. There we go. We've decided.
And this is a time to be clean.
This is a time to clean out your insides. Yeah, so maybe she's onto something. Maybe you should eat your soap. Wash for 20 seconds, scrub your hands, drink an entire bottle of Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap. That is our official recommendation. And if your name is Jody, leave your boyfriend. Well, Tosh, yeah. I got to tell you, these bunker sessions we have, I really like talking to Todd. I thought that was really fun. But I was like, feeling good that we were with a friend, because these bunker sessions, these are nice. I like sharing this podcast with you. I do. It's fun. And I like all the fans that write in. I'm grateful. This is a small thing to find gratitude for. Just like Emmett, that small email interaction, a small thing to find gratitude for.
We have to find those moments.
Totally. Yeah.
You just have to kind of flash moments in your mind and just hope that they're good.
Totally. You said to me today, we were sitting in the sun, and you said, do you feel like life is fleeting? And I was like, are you having a peak moment right now? And you were like, yeah. And the idea of having a peak moment in the middle of a pandemic is pretty nice, pretty beautiful. Oh, and I love it.
I'm glad you took it that way.
Yeah. Well, I like you having peak moments. You know why?
Why?
Can you guess? I love you.
I love you too.